Brunson looks to push it. 43 seconds remaining. Brunson drives, stops, up top to Hart. Back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in! Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away, out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three, bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead!
Sing it with me.
And I'm bound to keep on lying. I got one more silver dollar.
And I bet it on the Knicks.
Catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yeah! Let's go! McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 5 hours on our five-hour midnight ride as I take you to 5 o'clock in the morning and the warm-up show. We still got Rosie on the other side. Feels like olden times for him playing Steve Summers. Highlights before the open? What is this? What the hell happened last night? We got highs and lows. We got trials and tribulations. We've got exuberance. And the opposite of exuberance. Let's go. Oh, what a night. What happened? I want to hear from you. 877-337-6666. As the Knicks take a 2-0 lead over the 76ers in one of the more improbable, unlikely, incredible finishes we've possibly ever seen. I mean, this is the Knicks-Reggie Miller game. That's what this is. And let's be honest. I came on yesterday and we talked about, hey, at least I did. Oh, well, listen, Brunson was awful in the game. I thought Embiid looked great. Maxey's all over the place. What are the odds those circumstances come again? And yet still the Knicks managed to steal a victory. And if the Sixers can't win that game, then, well, then listen, what are the odds of those circumstances playing out again? The Knicks can't lose this series. The Knicks can't play another game like that. Brunson can't be awful again. There's no way you're going to get Maxey doing that again. There's no way Embiid, after tweaking his knee, is going to look as good again. And yet 33 points from Embiid. Maxey's all over the place, and Brunson's awful. And the Knicks are up 2-0, stealing two games, particularly this one last night, as they are down 5 points with 47 seconds left. And you heard what happened. And everything in that moment is hard to fathom. We've seen a lot of basketball. You've seen a lot of basketball. How often do we see, one, Brunson hit a shot off the rim that goes up and in, a guy who couldn't hit a shot all night? And let's, you know, before we get too excited about what's gone on, Brunson has been awful. Let's just be fair for a quick second. Brunson has been awful. I know they're playing him tough. I heard Thibodeau in the postgame. They're double-teaming him. It's opening up and creating other shots for other people, and they've taken advantage. And we know how good this team is and how deep they are and how many different guys they have who could step up and hit shots. And Josh Hart finished last game, game one, hitting threes in the fourth quarter. He opens up this game hitting threes in the opening quarter to keep them alive at the beginning of the game when Philadelphia was making yet another early lead, as the same as they did in game one. And the story is, you know, the same. You got obviously big shots from Hart, as I just said. You got big shots from Bogdanovich earlier in the game. You got big shots from Ananobi. You got big shots from everybody else. Brunson's been terrible. I don't care how good the defense has been. He struggled to find a shot. He's still gotten his shot off. He's completely off. The only shots he can hit right now are from the foul line. He's been brutal in these two games. And yet, he shows no fear, takes the three-pointer off the foul shot miss from Lowry, down 5 points with 47 seconds left, and this game is lost. And you're trying to figure out, okay, you've got two games here. Brunson hasn't played well. You got a series. You got a split in the first two games. You're trying to figure out what they can do to stop Maxey, who takes over again in the fourth quarter. He takes over at the beginning of the game. He takes over at the end of the game. And the story for me, my open, as I'm getting ready to rush out of the house and head over here, my open is Maxey's playing like a superstar, and Brunson is letting this team down. And Brunson can write all the letters he wants, and he can have this connection to the fan base, and that's great, and I still have faith in him, but ultimately, he needs to be far better than what he's put forth in the first two games. That's the story. And then this Knick team that never gives up, this Knick team that never stops fighting, and we saw the rebounding, we saw a stretch there without Brunson in the fourth quarter, where they look to be, they take an 8-point lead, and they're doing it with Brunson off the floor. They're doing it with shots from Bogdanovich. They're doing it with shots from Deuce McBride, who's ripping the ball out of Philadelphia hands, making big plays. He's got that back-to-back possessions where he rips the ball out of the defender's hand, and then the next time down the court, he gets the basket and the foul. And they build an 8-point lead with Brunson on the bench. That's who this team is. That sequence right there, along with obviously the final sequence where they hit the three from Brunson, they get the steal off the inbounds, where, let's be fair, I know right now I'm literally just catching up. I had to rush in my car and get here, but I'm hearing all the sound. We're going to get to it over the course of the next 5 hours. I'm hearing the complaints from Nick Nurse. I'm hearing the guarantees from Embiid. I'm hearing, oh, we called the timeout. We're going to petition the league. There should have been fouls. Ugh. It's unacceptable. That's what you're hearing from Philadelphia, who is mentally soft and had this game won and choked it away. And they can complain about all they want to complain about. And I have not seen that many bodies hit the floor without a whistle in an NBA game in a long time. But this is the playoffs. And if you are going to allow Hartenstein to come down the middle of the lane and get that offensive rebound, that's on you. If you're going to allow DiVincenzo to get two wide open looks at the end of that game down up 2 points, that's on you. If Maxey, who took over this game hitting long distance threes, is going to pass up a 3-point shot in the fading seconds to give it to Embiid 40 feet from the basket, that's on you. Philadelphia is weak. Philadelphia is soft, and this Knick team is everything but. And even with their superstar having a terrible first two games, and even with their superstar who dragged them to the second seed in this Eastern Conference playoffs, doing absolutely nothing except getting to the foul line. And it's funny because that's been a storyline, right? The referees don't officiate him as a superstar. Well, they have in these first two games. He's been getting the whistles. He's been getting to the foul line. It's the only thing he's been capable of doing. He's gotten shots effect. He's gotten multiple blocks against him. He's missed open shots. He's 2 for 8 he's 8 for 29 in this game. Before that 3-pointer with the 47 seconds left, he's 1 for 7 in the fourth quarter. He was killing them. The best stretch of basketball they had was building an 8-point lead when he was off the floor. And we were seconds away from asking ourselves, what the hell's wrong with Brunson? And how do we get this back heading into Philadelphia 1-1 and feeling not as good as we did after game one? And instead, they battle back. And this team, and you want to know the difference of this team? Watch the way, I know the circumstances aren't exactly the same, but watch this Nick Nurse-led Philadelphia team not foul at the end of game one, and then watch this Knick team never give up. That's the difference. Right now, the difference, the superstars are playing better for Philadelphia. Embiid, who's hobbled. Embiid, who's bent over, holding his knees every time he has a second to take a break. He looks exhausted. He looks hobbled. He can barely move. Offensively, scored 33 points, and at times in this game was dominant. I thought he was better against Mitch Robinson than he was in game one. I thought they had a tougher time defending him. And then Maxey, at different times, namely at the beginning of this game and then at the very end of this game, just took over and they couldn't stop him. While Brunson's doing nothing. It's not about the superstars. Not this series. This series is about the grit, guile, the toughness, the fight, the never give up attitude, and the role players hitting big shots and having big rebounds. And honestly, that last, what's going to get lost in it, and it shouldn't, and I'm hopefully it won't, but what might get lost in it is the Hartenstein play. The rebound from Hartenstein that leads to the three, and then going down the floor and getting the block on Maxey when the Knicks haven't been able to stop Maxey going to the basket in either of these two games. To get that block in that moment, to get Anunoby the rebound and the foul and set up a three-point lead, those two plays back-to-back from Hartenstein are the Knicks. That's who they are. And you've seen it at the end of these games, whether it's the rebound from Hart at the end of game one, whether it's the offensive rebound running down the lane from Hartenstein here last night in game two. This team and its role players and its bench have been far better than Philadelphia's, despite the stars being the other way around. And it's been, that's a game that Philadelphia, you can't lose that game. I mean, this is stealing a victory. And the Knicks could very easily be down 2-0. And instead, they're up 2-0, heading into Philadelphia, feeling like no matter how it goes, no matter how the first three quarters go, no matter where they are with 5 minutes left in this game, the Knicks are going to find a way. I don't know how you don't feel like that now, but there are issues. Namely, Brunson. He has got to be better moving forward, because what's the old adage? The role players are going to be better at home than they are on the road. And you might not get the shooting performances from Hart, certainly, on the road. You might not get the performances you've gotten from Deuce McBride. You might not get the shot-making ability you got from DiVincenzo in this game, not game one, or Bogdanovich. Stars have to show up on the road. And they head into this game three, and I feel like Philadelphia is mentally beat and making excuses and complaining about timeouts. And you've got, Namath Messier and Embiid telling you he's guaranteeing victory. It's embarrassing. And I feel like they have the mental advantage of this series. But things can easily change. And as positive as I am right now, and as much as we're going to focus on the idea of this Knick team never saying die and how they've gone about business, I have to admit, if Brunson doesn't play better, we are going to find this series closer than we want it to be. Because at the end of game one, I was enthused by what happened because I couldn't imagine. I thought it was just Brunson having an off night. I didn't anticipate him having back-to-back games like this, because he hasn't had back-to-back games like this all year. And I don't want to hear about the defense. I understand that. He's had tough defenses, and I know he struggles against Philadelphia as well, even in the course of the regular season. They had some of their lowest-scoring games against Philadelphia, including that 79-73 game they played right before Anunoby made his second comeback. I understand it's been a struggle for him. But I'm watching Maxey hit threes from half court. I'm watching Maxey get to the basket at will. I'm watching a hobbled Embiid still figure out a way to score 30. And I'm watching Brunson lay bricks all over the place. I love him. He's still the heart and soul of this team. I love that he's still willing to take that shot with 47 seconds left down six, and he's not looking to pass it. He's looking to be the guy. I respect it. But he's got to be better. He has to be better. Because this could easily be 0-2. I mean, they have a four. I was listening on the way in to the post game in the Nick post game show. They had, with 47 seconds left, down five, they have a 4% chance of winning this game. And while I don't necessarily believe in all that, and this Nick team has been overcome from further depths than 4% of winning a game with 47 seconds left, you can't expect to be able to pull these things out of the fire every game, and you can't expect certainly to be able to do it on the road. It's one thing in the Garden. It's one thing with this crowd. It's one thing in the element they were in last night. Brunson has got to be better. But we're not going to focus on that much. We're going to focus on the idea that the Knicks stole another game. They're up 2-0. They never give up. I love this coach. I love the way they fight. I love the role players on this team. And I love the mental advantage they have over a Philadelphia team that has to be absolutely beside themselves to try and figure out how the hell they lost two games with Brunson, the star of the New York Knicks, doing absolutely nothing, and last night having a 5-point lead with 47 seconds left and having to come down the court with 3 seconds left, down three. And so they're complaining, they're bitching, they're crying, and I love it. And we're going to eat it up all morning long. 877-337-6666. And then, of course, we get to the heartbreak. As the New York Islanders blow a 3-goal lead to the Carolina Hurricanes and give up back-to-back goals within 9 seconds apart to go from a 3-2 lead to a 4-3 deficit and end up with a 5-3 loss in a heartbreaking fashion of a game that, you know, they played well in game one, and they jump out to this 3-0 lead in this game where early on, what was it? It was maybe 3 minutes left in the first period before they had a shot on goal. And then they come through and they take this lead, and they're up 3-0, and it felt like watching it. And to be fair, I'm watching both games at the same time. But it felt like to me watching it and keeping an eye on this game that they were content with a 3-goal lead, and they were happy to just sit on it. And they stopped being aggressive. And for me, in the playoffs, it's the worst thing you can do, especially against a team that's not only favored in the series, not only favored to be the Eastern Conference champion, but to be the Stanley Cup champion. You cannot sit on a 3-goal lead, which is, stereotypically the worst lead in hockey. You can't do it. And to have 2.5 minutes and a goal lead with Carolina pulling their goalie and allowing a goal to tie the game and then lose a faceoff, have a goalie turn the wrong way expecting the puck to be brought around the opposite side of the goal and have one snuck in behind you, to have a dagger in your heart, is a brutal loss for the Islanders. And all this happened in the matter of moments, because I got to be honest, I felt like I had to run out of here. I missed the last 2 minutes of the Islander game. I had to run out of here and get in my car. I'm finding out, listening to the radio, that the Islanders lost this game. And for guys like Fliegelman, and we'll get to it, the highs and lows of what last night was is what New York sports is all about. So we'll get to the Islanders. We'll obviously get to the Knicks. In fact, we're going to take a couple calls right here in the open. Enough of me. Let's get right to you, 877-337-6666. Greg, he's on the top of Tappan Zee Bridge. He was at the game. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, buddy?
The Garden was absolutely electric tonight, and, great opening. I think you analyzed every single angle of the Knicks so far in the postseason. Agree that Brunson has to play better, but definitely not abandoning our superstar.
No one's abandoning him, and I love the fact that he didn't abandon himself. Like, he wasn't looking to pass in that moment. He wanted the ball,
no,
which I respect. But he's got to be better.
100% agree, but I'm certainly still behind him. The Garden was amazing. I got to tell you, Hart and DiVincenzo, absolute dogs. They want the ball in big moments. That was definitely the feel in the Garden tonight.
Yeah.
And I truly believe they're willing and able to step up to those big moments. And it was just a great atmosphere. You know, I've been a Knicks fan, following them in the 90s with, Ewing Starks. Sprewell was there at the Garden tonight.
Yeah, so, we all saw John Starks. And, John, all love you.
Yeah.
I love you, buddy. I love you. We don't need you practically on the court giving the guys a massage in the middle of the game. Like, I appreciate you're a fan. We love you. Just stand up in your seat. He's practically on the court cheering and jumping up and down.
Yeah, and Larry Johnson, four-point play, got the crowd going. So,
no, I mean, listen, that must have been an incredible atmosphere. The Garden's always rocking. And to have that sequence of events, I mean, that the end of the game there is as unlikely. I mean, that game's over. That game is over. You obviously have the foul overturned, which I, on the rebound on DiVincenzo, which is a tough, that's a tough call to overturn. They overturned a couple calls in this game. And, the term minimal contact was used several times by referees. But that overturned foul call on the loose, on the rebound and loose foul on Lowry, on DiVincenzo, kind of changed the game there. Earlier in the game, the Knicks had one that it changed Lowry from being at the line to OG Anunoby being at the line on a hard block. So the Knicks had a game changing at the moment, and I think that kind of spurred, I think that kind of spurred the eight point lead, the beginning of that rally that got them to the 8 point lead. Hart has the block, it's called a foul on Lowry. The Knicks challenge it, they get it overturned. Instead of Lowry going to the basket, to the foul line, Knicks get the ball. It leads to Anunoby being to the foul line for 2 points. And then obviously this overturned foul against DiVincenzo that leads to the 76ers building a 5 point lead with 47 seconds left. And, Lowry's missed foul shot is a huge play in this game, too. He misses that second foul shot. It leaves, right, it's a tie game. You need 6 points ties the game as opposed to five, and the 2 3-pointers win it for you. Now, we're gonna talk about the end of that sequence, and we're going to listen to the head coach as Nick Nurse is claiming he's calling timeouts. I got to go back and rewatch it. I literally walked into the building just before I turned on the microphone. I pulled an Ed Coleman here on this night, as I had to rush out of my house at the last minute because I want to watch the, obviously, completion of the game. But we'll play the sound. He's complaining. Obviously, Embiid's complaining. And Embiid also is guaranteeing victory. That should be fun. We'll get to that all next. 877-337-6666. All right, let's go. Knick fans, we'll start with you. We can get to the Islander fans. And especially if you're both. I am fascinated. I'm poor Fliegelman. I'm gonna put him right on the carpet and make him answer the questions. To be a Knick and Islander fan, and you knew going in that every single game this series was gonna be at the same time, and you were gonna struggle to try and watch both. There may be Islander fans right now who are watching on DVR and don't know what's going on. They've turned their phone off. They watched the Knick game, and now they're watching the Islanders, or vice versa. If you're a diehard Islander fan, now you're getting to the Knick game. Hey, it's a good one. But the dichotomy of one team winning in such a way, followed almost immediately at the same time, another team in this city blowing a lead and an opportunity to tie a series against a team nobody thinks they can beat. And a team that's favored to win the whole damn thing. To blow that lead. I'm very curious to see how Knick Islander fans feel tonight. And which one weighs more on you. Are you the type of fan where the Knick win is what's going to carry you through and you're going to sleep fine and say, hey, I didn't expect the Islanders to win this series anyway. It's awesome what the Knicks are doing. Or does the loss of that game where you had a 3-0 lead to tie up a series in a series nobody expects you to win, is that devastating loss going to keep you up all night and is going to tarnish this Knick win? It's fascinating. I can't even imagine how I would feel. I'm probably the guy who hates the loss more than I love the win. That's how I find it's been. But I'm interested with how what you guys have to say. So 877-337-6666. We got a wild night. We got a wild night. We got, obviously, the Knicks. We got the Islanders. We got the Yankee offense doing absolutely nothing. We got Boone throwing out after five pitches. We finally have the end of the Zach Wilson era with the New York Jets. I mean, we got a ton to do. We got 4.5 hours to do it.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is good. I don't believe it. Once again, deja vu. A two-out, game-tying two-run home run by Scott Brosius. Probably the most unbelievable feat in World Series history.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Woo! All right, we're in it now. What a night. What a day. We were just, me and Fleas are just joking, because, like, you know, inside radio, especially when you do 5 hours, you got the Boone thing that could normally take a few hours on itself. We could argue about the umpire saying, I don't care who said it. We could argue about Boone, the Yankees offense, Mets losing San Francisco. We could have a couple of things, but of course, when it rains, it pours, and we got a million things to talk about.
Whatever dropped, I'm sure we always thought we'd do 5 hours on the three, whatever, how long the show is, on the end of Zach Wilson.
The end of Zach Wilson alone is a 5 hour show, arguably. And now it's C block. I mean, it's unbelievable. What a night. What a game. And I want to hear the Nick Islander fans again. I had to watch the highlights as soon as I got in. When I left, they were winning. I was unaware. Oh! More drama in the NBA playoffs. As Denver, I believe, just hit a game-winning shot in the final seconds. Crazy day. Crazy night, yep. 101-99, Denver beats the Lakers to take a 2-0 lead. I think now Jamal Murray hits the game-winning shot. I don't know, was it a three and they were tied? They were tied, it was a two. As the buzzer, he takes it.
And LeBron missed a shot the previous possession. It was tied, the Nuggets tied it, Murray hit a shot to tie it. LeBron had a shot and he missed a three.
So off a missed LeBron three, they go down and take a 2-0 lead. I believe now every single game has been won by the home team so far in this NBA playoffs. Incredible shot. Big-time win for the defending champs as they take a 2-0 lead too. But, man, what a crazy set of circumstances. And last night was just incredible. That pulling that win out for the New York Knicks, I mean, that is the epitome of who they are. It's just the epitome from everything. From making the other team, you know, squirm kind of at the end there, be unsure of themselves. Because, I mean, I thought Maxey was great in this game. He had a terrible end to this game. Whether it's, you know, holding on to that ball and not calling a timeout on the floor. And I know Nick Nurse is claiming he was calling a timeout. I haven't gone back and watched it again. I have to. But Muncy has the ball on the floor. He has a terrible sequence there. And then at the end of the game, down three, they don't foul. They allow him to come down the floor. I know it's a long three-pointer, but he's hit several in the game. And instead, he gives it to Embiid. Standing 6 feet behind the three-point line. What's Embiid going to do with that? I was shocked Maxey passed up that shot. Shocked. And I'm telling you, I feel pretty confident about the Knicks and their mental toughness and their advantage in that department over this Philadelphia team that I don't care who's guaranteeing what. You have got to feel like you absolutely blew an opportunity in this series. And yeah, you might in some corners of your mind feel like, hey, we were the better team and we lost two games. All we got to do is be the better team at home and we'll get back in the series. But you can't lose excruciating games like that. And when it comes down to it, at the end of these games, the Knicks are more mentally tough, they're better rebounders, and they have more shooters. Plain and simple. And if Brunson's going to be even close to what he normally is, maybe this series would be over pretty quick. But I am curious about the guys who are both Knicks and Islander fans. And let's get to a call first because I haven't taken many. And then we're going to get to Fliegelman, who is a huge Knick and Islander fan. And I'm very curious how he handled last night first because he's in a different spot. You know, the other day he was able to DVR, but the games are played at 7:30. He's got to be in here at midnight. I'm assuming he wasn't able to completely DVR. He had to watch at some point some of the games at the same time, unless he's really just every commercial break watching little bits of each one. That would be very clever of him. But I'm assuming it went down all at the same time, and I'm curious to see how he felt. But let's start with you guys on that subject. Paul in Memphis, Tennessee is a Knick and Islander fan.
Oh, Chris, I was born and bred in New York City and moved down here. But I tell you what, between ESPN and TNT, I had ESPN on my big screen.
Right.
Because that was my Islanders game.
Yeah.
And then I had the Knicks on my iPad. And by the end, of course, it switched. And thank goodness I actually saw the end of that game because I was at Madison Square Garden, 1993 NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Championship State Game Series, game number two. When Johnny Stark slammed over Michael Jordan and the Garden exploded,
right.
I felt the same energy about what happened tonight in that sequence. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
No, that's that's an incredible end of the game, an incredible sequence. That is, it's going to go down. I mean, it's one of those moments in play, and especially if they go on to win the series, and especially if they go on to do anything somewhat special, I mean, that's going to go down as a great moment.
So that was my Red Bull moment. Mm-hmm. Then the end of the Islander game.
Yeah.
That was my vodka. Because I'm sitting here going, there's a pattern now for this team, and it's not about the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that Patrick Roy actually, you know, instills something in there, you know, that whole mantra of one shift at a time, one period at a time, one game at a time, because they had a 3-goal lead.
Yeah.
And they just absolutely played the wrong game. When you have one shot on goal for the last 33 minutes of the game, there's something wrong, Chris.
Yeah. And, they sat on a lead. They were afraid to make a mistake once they got a 3-goal lead. They wanted to continue to play good, solid defensive hockey and took no chances and were not aggressive. And I mean, that's too long a time period. You're 100% right. Too long a time period to try and sit on a 3-goal lead against a team as good as Carolina. But let me just ask you. You said the Knicks are your Red Bull, the Islanders are your vodka. Which one are you feeling more right now?
Oh, I mixed them.
I understand that, but I'm just asking you, one has to weigh more than the other. Are you excited about the Knicks or are you depressed about the Islanders? Which one is the first one when I say to you, which one? Go ahead, quick.
Knicks.
All right, more excited about the Knicks. I honestly, I don't want to tell you how to I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Yankee fan first and foremost. I love the Yankees. I love the Giants. I love the Knicks and Rangers. I'm a big fan. I'm just telling you, I know the Yankees are my team. And if I was watching a Yankee game alongside a Giant game, if the Yankees lost a brutal playoff game and then it was followed by a big Knick win or a big Giant win, I know the Yankee loss, whatever the Yankees did, would probably outweigh the other team. But for me, that's just me. But if you're equal, if you're someone who that you don't, you know, you treat them like children and you don't feel like there's one stronger than the other, I would think, considering the expectations of the New York Knicks and the quality of team that the Islanders are playing and the likelihood of winning that series and really just the amazing job they did down the stretch just to get into the playoffs, I would think that you could probably allow yourself to be a little more excited than disappointed and be a little bit more jazzed about the Knicks than blowing a game for the Islanders. But if the Islanders are your team, there's no talking you out of it. That's just how it is. Bob in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Bob?
Hey, I just wanted to ask you a question with the Knicks and the Islanders.
Yes.
I bet you there's less Islander fans or the Knicks fans than there are the Rangers and the Knicks.
Oh, yeah. And I think there are more Ranger fans than Islander fans. I don't think it's the same
Good. I just thought I'm talking in general, and like, you know, you're asking, you know, you want to hear a lot of the Islander Knicks fans. I don't think there's as many Islander fans out there that are Knicks fans.
Why not?
Vice versa with the Rangers and the Knicks. Oh, I doubt that. I'd like to hear callers tonight and see how many calls we get Islander fans.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you're a hockey, if you're a hockey and a basketball fan, I would say it's 90% of the 90% of the basketball fans in the city are Knicks fans. So that takes care of that. So if you're an Islander fan and you like basketball, I think there's a very good chance you're both. Now,
I would say you're more of a Nets fan.
No.
I would say you're more of a Nets fan than you're a Knicks fan.
No, from the Islanders, I completely disagree. No way.
And the other
what makes you say that? Because they played in Long Island 100 years ago? I mean, come on.
No. It's just like the Giants. You take the Giants, Jets, and the Yankees and the Mets.
But both of those teams split both of the Jets and Giants and the Yankees and Mets have much more of a 50-50, might be 60-40, 55-45, whatever, but it's much more of a 50-50 split. The NBA, the basketball teams, this city is not a 50-50 split. It's all Knicks. It's 90-10 Knicks to Nets. You're talking about, you're right. Giants and Jets tend to be It tends to be Jets and Mets, especially, you know, the Jets where they played when they first got started. Like, I understand that. You might be right. There's more Jets, Mets, and Giants, Yankees, maybe. I don't know. Big Brother, whatever you want to say. But when it comes to the basketball team, it's a 90%. We rally around the Knicks. The city is 90-10 Knicks versus Nets. So whatever, there are more Giant Knicks fans than Giant Net fans. There are more Jet Knicks fans than Jet Net fans. There are more Yankee Knicks fans and Met Knicks fans than Met and Yankee Net fans because there are more Knicks fans. I mean, the Knicks are 90% of the fan base here. So if you like a hockey team, you're probably and you like basketball, you're a Knick and whatever. And much like my man Fliegelman, who is a Knick Islander fan. So first off, before you tell me how you're feeling, what was the setup tonight? Because I know the other day you were able to kind of, you were on the overnight, you were on a little bit later, you were able to play the game a little bit. I'm not sure how well you were able to play the DVR game last night.
So I wasn't positive either, because what helped the other day was the Islanders starting a full hour earlier, so correct. I was able to get a clear period before the Knicks. But I tried tonight. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start with one and then go to the other, and then if I watch in the clock, if it gets close, maybe I'll have to throw one on at the same time. I didn't get there. Just the way it worked, I watched the Islander first period, then I switched to the Knicks, was able to watch the entire first three quarters. I ended up catching up. I was like 2 minutes behind live, then went to the Islanders and finished the second period. But because I was just like so on edge about the Knicks, even though the Islanders were over, I went back to the Knicks first to watch the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So I think because I did that, and then knowing like because the Knicks entering the fourth quarter was so close, I'm like, all right, if I'm going to have to like skip and like not like totally like go through, but like have on the sped up fast forward version
for a little bit,
or throw it on the second screen, I would do it with the start of the third period with a 2-goal lead.
Right.
So I saw the end of the Knicks game first, and looking at the clock was like, all right, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to finish the entire Islanders game after this. So at no point did I do them both at the same time.
Okay.
Thankfully, you know, I showered, ate dinner, everything before they both started.
Sure, sure.
So I think because of that, and because I got to experience the awesome feeling of that Knick game first, I'm somebody who 99 times out of 100, that loss is weighing on me more than the win.
Yeah.
But for the reasons that you laid out, the expectations, the opponent, and adding in how I saw the Knicks first, and another one too is I know so many people from Philly. From my years at Penn State.
Right.
So one of these series means a lot more to me.
Okay.
Just because of, obviously, my team winning and theirs losing.
Right.
So where normally the loss would weigh on me more, I'm trying to keep it. And so far, it's holding on. It's been like, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's
still
the Knicks I'm holding on to more.
Good.
The insanity of that sequence, winning the vibe.
Amazing.
The home versus road.
Yeah.
Like getting, you know,
that's
if that's
true.
A game
coming back
on
to
the road, I don't know if it's the same because you have the Garden, Breen on the call, getting the double bang, like all of that. I'm holding on to that more right now. But like tomorrow at this time,
maybe
as we sit with these 2 days off in between games, I might start just getting into, you know, the depression that the, I mean, the Islanders are dead in this. It's over. They gave that game away.
And the series.
The series is over.
Yeah.
These games at UBS are pretty much for nothing. But for right now, it's the Knicks just trying to hold off on them.
Good. You should feel that way. And do you have a, like, are you able, because me, I'm fully, I think some of the narrative that I talk nothing but Yankees is overblown. I admit, sometimes when all things being equal, I talk Yankees because I'm the biggest fandom and I might have, in my opinion, the best takes on the Yankees. But I think it's overblown that all I talk is Yankees, but that's fine for another day. But I fully admit, the Yankees are my number one. My other fandom doesn't, it's just not at the same level. Are you completely even? Do you feel like you have between the Knicks and Islanders? Is there a, if one was going to win a championship, do you have a opinion or it's just they're like even to you?
So I think they're even in normal terms. The reason I would choose if I had to pick a championship for one, it would be the Islanders because the tiebreaker would be that my dad cares about them more.
Okay.
So if I'm going to share one with him, it would be the Islanders. But for me personally, they're about on the exact same level. It's gone back and forth at different times
because
the Knicks were, you know, trash for most of 20 years.
Yeah.
But they were like my first love probably was either them or the Mets. Basketball was one of the first sports I got into. So, you know, at the end of the 90s, they have a special place in my heart. But yeah, they're pretty level. Like I'd probably put the Mets and Jets, like, you know, if I had to split the hairs slightly above them because I've had the season ticket experience for both of them.
Right.
But Knicks and Islanders, no, they're on
par,
as close to equal footing as I can imagine.
Gotcha. All right, let's hear from you. You got what Fliegelman said. Amazing. It's really an amazing job because I'm someone who for years, and my schedules, I'm just getting used to it now as far as baseball starting again and having all these sports on. But to be able to accomplish watching both of those games on DVR, watching them complete and not have to focusing on both of them at the same time.
Well, that would, like, that would have been impossible.
I wouldn't have even attempted
to watch
it.
Both at this, like,
I know,
with the intensity of those games.
It
like,
is.
I was texting with somebody who mentioned something about the Knicks game, and I noted the time, and when I got to that in the Knicks game, I answered. And he said, like, oh, you know, it was JJ. He's like, you're not looking at both screens because he knows I have the setup. I said, for playoffs, and if it's a team I could put the Rangers on another screen or the
right.
And I did put the Mets ultimately on the second screen.
Sure.
I love them, but it's an April baseball game.
Yeah.
These two teams in the playoffs, like,
it's impossible.
It's almost worse to have it on the screen and not giving it your full attention than to just have it completely out of sight, out of mind for 20 minutes.
I agree with you. All right. 877-337-6666. Let's go. Let's see your phone calls now for a while. James in Queens. What's up, James?
C-Mac, what's going on?
What's up, brother? How we doing?
Oh, bro, so I had to walk out of the apartment because I usually leave the house around 4:30. I never really catch the whole show.
Right.
By the way, keep it up. I love it, bro. You're doing great.
Oh, thank
you.
But,
yeah, absolutely. But, dude, this, I don't know. I'm 35 years old. I'm a diehard Knicks, diehard Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that guy was talking about. I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I lived on the island most of my life and just, there's plenty of Knicks and Islanders fans.
Oh, well, he's looking at it as if the basketball fandom is somehow split the same way our baseball and football fandoms are.
Yet.
It's not even close.
Yet.
It's nine. It's
it might
nine
even be
for every
5-5.
Out of every 10 basketball fans, 9 of them are Knicks fans. That's how the city works right now. That's not a knock 100%. At the Nets. I'm not trying to, you know, insult anyone. I'm not trying to piss off anyone. It's just the truth.
No.
Basketball and baseball don't work like that. We have a much more even split. Basketball is not a split. So if you're a fan of any other team, and you like basketball, it's most likely you're that team plus
you're
a Knicks fan.
You're going to be a Knicks fan.
Yeah, of course. But you're a Knicks fan. What was your take?
I'm a doc. Yeah.
How did it feel to watch that final sequence, man? That's it.
So I'm not even going to go to sleep. I'm going to go in the office. Let me just start. We all know the obvious. I called BT and Sal this morning.
Yeah.
Right? And I said, Jalen, there's no way he's not going to have 30 and 10.
Yep.
Obviously, was wrong.
But, yep.
We can't have a 7, you know, or 8 and 29.
No, 8 for 29 is unacceptable. And before that three-pointer, 1 for 7 in the fourth quarter. That's just not good enough. And especially if you look at it, they build an 8-point lead with him off the floor, and then they're down. He comes into the game, and they end up down 5 with 47 seconds left. He's a minus 13 for the last 4-5 minutes of the game. That's you can't have that from your superstar.
Chris, you're 100% right, but I refuse to believe that this will continue. He's done, he's too good, man.
I know.
There's just, and I can't see it happening. And if it does happen, then I don't know.
But no, I mean, listen,
maybe, you know, styles make fights sometimes.
So, yeah,
you know,
listen, he struggled against Philadelphia. It's at least, and thank you for the call, James. I want to get to some more calls. It's at least something to keep in the back of your mind now. It's no longer just nothing. He's played poorly against Philadelphia enough. Now, you mentioned Sal and BT, and listen, I love Sal, and I disagreed with him this morning, but now, I mean, it's hard not to at least have a, like, to me, he looked at all the things, and I don't think he was alone. I think there were a lot of Knicks fans who looked at that game last night and were disappointed in the way they played. I was disappointed in the way they played. But Sal's take, and not to necessarily use Sal, but there was a take of, geez, everything I was worried about came to fruition. It scares the hell out of me. And my take was, everything that I feared came to fruition, and they still won. I feel great. Like, there's two, when they play, when all your fears of, you know, Brunson having a tough time against the team he struggled with in the regular season and not being a superstar in the series, not being the best player on the court, having trouble finding secondary offense for the most part, other than some obviously big shots down the stretch, but having that without Randall, not having that secondary guy, and watching Embiid be healthy and Maxey take over the game and feeling like, you know, they're superstars and Brunson's not. And that was like the worst, my worst fears of the series. And then it happened and they still won. And I expected that to change. But now after two games, watching Brunson, because I agreed with you, I thought tonight was a lock for 30 points from Jalen Brunson. I thought it was a lock. And early on, he tried to force it. It was almost as if he was taking shots. And I don't think he took a lot of bad shots, but the bad shots he did take were in the beginning of the game. It almost felt like he wanted to force himself into a couple of made shots so that he would start to feel good. And he forced up a couple of bad ones early on, hoping they would go in and he could get into a rhythm. And he never found it. And now this is back-to-back games where he's played the worst two games we've seen him play in months. And now I'm concerned. I wasn't concerned after one. I think when he does it back-to-back, now there's no other option but to be a little concerned. And so I honestly feel, I don't feel as good as I did leaving game one. I know they're up 2-0. They've won another game. All they have to do now is win two out of the next five. So I understand that they're closer to the ultimate goal. But now I'm concerned about Jalen Brunson a lot more than I was after game one when I chalked it up to just a bad night. Now it might be a little bit of what Philadelphia does. Now it might be a little bit in his head. Now he might just be struggling from the pressure. And he puts a lot of pressure on himself, let's be honest. He puts pressure on himself by taking on this mantle, which I love and we love, and he gets it, but he puts out the piece in the Players' Tribune, and he's connecting to this fan base and to the city and all that. You know, it doesn't work if he fails like this. So there's pressure on him. And I'm still excited, and ultimately last night was great, and I do have faith in him, and I do believe he's going to come through. But there's a little bit more in my mind that what we've seen, because I looked at it and said, there's no way, after game one, I said, what are the odds Maxey's going to be this dominant again and get to the basket at will? They're going to come up with a better defensive strategy. What are the odds after tweaking his knee again that you see Embiid able to put up 30, 35 points, move around and be efficient, that efficient offensively? I just don't see it. Plus, Brunson was awful. No way Brunson will be awful again. All three of those things happened again in game two. But something else happened the same. The Knicks came out victorious. So I feel good about that. But now I see a trend in how they played. And it's one thing to pull it out in the Garden. It's going to be another to go to Philadelphia and try and pull it out there, where typically your secondary and role players don't play as well on the road. So I still feel confident. Clearly, they're up 2-0. I still think they're more mentally tough than this Philadelphia team. And I think if the game's even close in the final minutes, I give the Knicks an enormous advantage because of their rebounding and because of the multiple guys who can hit shots. But at the same time, now I'm concerned about Randall.
Now I'm concerned about Maxey. And now I'm concerned about the idea that both of these games were came down to the wire and last night took a miracle. Now, 877-337-6666. I see the lines all lit up. We're going to have a short break, quick update, right back to your calls. McMonagle here with you all the way till 5 a.m. on this action-packed Tuesday morning. We still have an NFL draft to talk about. I mean, could we spread this out a little bit?
Could you imagine if this was the kind of game
week,
we got
I'm
the night of
nothing.
The draft?
What?
Imagine if this was the kind of game we got the night of the
oh
draft.
Oh, my God.
And it's still possible.
It is still possible. But, I mean, geez, in a week, I'm going to have nothing. In a week, I'm going to be talking about God knows what. 877-337-6666. But we don't have to worry about the week right now.